not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hi there. Let's have a fun Friday. Who says fun more than Sam Paniatovich? He'll be on with me in less than half an hour. Bulldog is off one more time, and then he and I will be back together on Monday. Sam wants me to ask him about his hanging out last night with Eddie Vedder. So remind me to do that. I think Sam will remind me to do that in case I forget, but hopefully I won't forget. Saying it helps. Saying it now helps. Yes, so Bulldog had his week off. I took my week off last week, sort of par for the course in the summer. There might be more of that in August, but I think of it as there's a break, not a bad thing, mostly good, it's just different, in this job from the end of the Saber season to the beginning of training camp for the Bills, which, I mean, for the last, most of the last 15 years has been long. It's been like almost 3 months, 2.5 months, where we, I mean, it gets easier every year, but you know, you sometimes feel like you're straining to come up with conversations that people are sort of like into. Like a lot of, I think, sports fans still listen casually. Our numbers reflect that, but are not necessarily driving around thinking about, you know, what the Bills should do at outside linebacker, that kind of thing. So it gives us, as I see it, again, just speaking for myself, the freedom, if you will, to freelance, to bring up lots of different things. But I was thinking how this year has been different, significantly different in that way. Like, it's almost here. I tell people when it gets to be like the middle of August, especially when my kids were younger and maybe my friends' kids were younger, and they'd be like, oh, can you believe summer is almost over? I'm like, it's not over, though. It's still 3 weeks before school starts. It's still more than that before actually summer ends, literally. So don't rush it. We get to August, and I think we're all pretty exhausted from the heat and from, you know, if you're a mom or a dad driving your kids everywhere to tournaments and whatever. And so August comes around, and that slows down, and like, oh, can't believe it's already over. It's not. And so it's not over today either. But this year for us, for me, has been really fun, given that the Sabres took us to the middle of May, and then you have the World Cup, and now we're into the end of the World Cup and the Open Championship. I mean, that's there every year, and before another week or so goes by, then it'll be training camp. Like, it's been kind of packed with stuff. I mean, we're not in here mostly breaking down World Cup games, but it's there. Like when the Olympics are on, when? 2 years ago? The Summer Olympics, I mean, when they were in Paris 2 years ago. You had that, and that's all kinds of fun content too. So this summer has kind of flown, as I see it, you know, how it feels to me being in here. And I would say too, now here comes the always the same preface with me. I'm gullible, but I think in terms of the Sabres, Connor Hellebuyck is still like a very realistic possibility. Even though normally when you get to, what is today? The 17th. The 17th of July, if not the 7th of July, is already kind of the point where the action has pretty much settled. And your team is your team. But, I mean, we've got our morning guys looking up Winnipeg Jets social media posts, and Jeremy tweeted how, this was a couple days ago, how the Jets opening night announcement tweet didn't have Hellebuyck in either of the two pictures. And Sneaky Joe was on that yesterday and went back in their feed and looked up the last time he was in one of their pictures, which was on his birthday in May. Their season was over by then, for what it's worth. But it has felt to me, and I don't want to go long on Hellebuyck, but I just want to say here on a Friday that I think the chances that he's traded are still pretty good. And I think if he is traded, the Sabres sound like, you know, they might be the team. They're certainly, I think, one of the teams who would be in play for him. The thing about that, though, is like, okay, you're negotiating with Winnipeg. You're Jarmo Kekalainen, and you're interested in Hellebuyck at your price, and you're trying to wait them out. You think the Jets have shown and maybe even said to you that they want to trade this player. They're ready to do it. It's been pretty public. I was saying around the time of the draft that I thought it was relevant, thought it was interesting that a lot of the NHL insiders were talking and tweeting about Hellebuyck all the time, which for me was because there was pressure, maybe not pressure, that the Jets wanted action, and that's one way you might think you can get it, is to just keep putting his name online, keep putting it out there that, you know, you're open to moving him. So with that and just sort of how Hellebuyck has talked and how it's all been reported, it has seemed to me consistently for, I mean, at least a month, however long since we started talking about this, that Winnipeg would want to make a trade. But here are the Sabres and maybe other teams too. This is just, you know, kind of, I want to say an educated guess, but I don't know from the inside what's happening. I know Chad DeDominicis has said that he thinks the chances are really low for the Sabres on Hellebuyck, so maybe it isn't worth spending too much time on. But I still think that the Jets want to do this. And I don't know if the fact that he's not in a picture on their Twitter is anything. But I can imagine, I'd actually like to know more about that world. Because it's not the general manager who's tweeting on behalf of the team, of course. But I think there probably are times when management weighs in or steps in on what the team's social media team is doing. And I could see it that the Jets organization, the GM, the owner, whoever in power would tell social media people, like, let's leave him out, which would be a really interesting existence if you were one of those people. I mean, it's not a super high-ranking position, I would think, in most sports organizations, but maybe there are times when you are, like, one of the first people to find out stuff, which would be pretty good. Of course, you best not repeat it. So I don't know. Maybe it means something that he's not in those pictures. Maybe it doesn't. I kind of think if it were I in charge of that stuff, if I had any sort of talent in graphic design and had any sort of aptitude there, I was in charge of putting the tweet out with the home opener and, you know, let's go October, whatever, be there. He would be in the picture every year necessarily. Like, he's my biggest star. And they didn't do that. So anyway, long way of saying, I still think Winnipeg probably wants to make that trade. And here are the Sabres waiting them out now as we get to July 17th. And their training camp is, what, 2 months away. I think the Sabres, this is a really, I hope I'm right. Not even that it necessarily ends in a trade, but I hope I'm right in thinking that the Jets want to move the player and the Sabres would like to trade for him. But they both want to do it on their own terms. They don't have a deal yet. And if I am, which is that the Sabres want Hellebuyck, I mean, it's not something you can just do casually. This is not just sort of a, this is not even Patrick Kane as an idea. Like, okay, we'll take Patrick Kane. Or maybe even somebody less than Patrick Kane. Like, just sort of, I mean, no signing is made on a whim. But obviously there's a scale. And some are more foundational than others. And this is a, this would be a foundational pivot, change, move by the Sabres if they were to do it. And I just think as it might seem, as it does to me, generally advantageous that they're sort of the side with leverage. If Winnipeg wants to move its superstar player, then they probably feel like they have to do it. And we were there with Hasek. We were there with Eichel, where the Sabres felt like, you know, ultimately that was the choice they needed to make, as painful as it would be to their fans and to their team. But they both, in both cases, did they do that. And you can sort of see that coming with Eichel, with Hasek in both cases. Hasek is 25 years ago now, but in both cases, it was, you could see the train coming down the tracks. Like, eventually, this guy's not playing for them anymore. This is going to happen. And so, I mean, that could be the Red Wings with Larkin. There are lots of times when players ask for trades and it doesn't happen. So it doesn't always have to happen in end in defeat, if you will. But, you know, here are the Jets. He's not on the Twitter page or whatever. Opening night graphics. Any of it. It continues to feel to me like they would want to do it. And now you have the Sabres on the other side and maybe other teams kind of trying to wait them out. I haven't even said it yet. I'm talking and talking, but that's actually what I should be doing, because, you know, Bulldog is not here and this is the time of the show where I kind of talk alone for 22 minutes. The Sabres can't really wait forever on this though, right? Is there a point at which, and it might be September, maybe. When would the time be? I mean, you haven't played games yet when you get to September. So there's nothing about that's like September 1st, say. There's nothing about that would necessarily make it too late. And maybe the Sabres themselves, if all of this is right, that they're hoping to get a deal done for this player, have a date in mind. But, you know, but what? Like, I think you want to get these things done as early as possible. And so there might be kind of a tug of war where the Sabres don't want to give up what they're being asked for, because they also have, they know they have time to sort of try to wait it out. But I think for them, at least in terms of the marketing side, which if I'm going to use the Winnipeg Jets Twitter, then I can try to apply that to the Sabres too, whether that's social media or the fans or anything. Even if it might be the roster, like if the Sabres were to swing a trade for him today, maybe that frees them up in some way, or, I mean, it wouldn't free them up financially, opens them up to some other free agent idea or trade idea that just makes them that much more interesting as a destination for some other player. Again, most of that dust has already settled. I mean, we're well past the draft and most of free agency. So I don't know how much in terms of roster management there is to do if you were to make that trade. But, you know, just speaking for myself, wouldn't that move, no matter almost what it costs the Sabres, wouldn't that move be worth tons in the fan base? Money, tickets, jerseys. I mean, if they traded for him today, they would have racks of his jerseys available when? I mean, I don't know. It's summer. Maybe they're not used to any sort of activity downtown in the store or anything like in the summer, but suddenly they trade for a superstar goalie. It's a great name and number and jersey too. Like, that's aesthetically for me, that it really works. If they were to do that, they could get just the additional time before the season selling it. And now they can't. I mean, this again is all based on the premise that they would want to do this. But I have always, or long thought, that they do. And that this player probably will be traded. I think I heard that Elliot Friedman even today reiterated that while things are quiet on Hellebuck, that he still thinks there will be a trade. I hope I have that right. I'll correct that if I don't. So you can't, well, you can wait. You can wait as long as you want, I guess, until you get to a point where it's just over and he's traded somewhere else. So that's the end of that. But I would think that they would want the most they can get on and, well, off the ice, really, mostly, in the offseason with him on the roster, just for, you know, financial benefits. Well, Maybe it will happen. Maybe it'll happen today. I don't know. I mean, I'm not hearing anything specific about that, but I'm kind of working, you know, to the original point or two that I made, like how the summer has been kind of busy in here for content with the Sabres playoff run and other things that have happened. This rumor is part of that. And you could choose to not care about it or not believe in it at all, think the Sabres wouldn't trade for the player, and then, you know, we just move on to something else. But I'm still buying that they want to. Sam Panayotovich today, Mike Dempsey out of Jacksonville. We've talked to Mike many times about fantasy football and the Jaguars, his team of his specialty, are one of the more interesting fantasy teams this year, if not just teams, because you've got a lot of questions. You've got, with ETN moving on, what their running back breakdown looks like. Will Travis Hunter play offense at all? Is Brian Thomas actually good? Great rookie season, big step back, maybe injured. What's he worth? Jacoby Myers there. They have a running back, I think out of Syracuse, LaQuint Allen, who could be relevant as like a depth pick in fantasy. Maybe he means something, like a pass catcher. They drafted two tight ends. Like, so Jacksonville has a lot of stuff to talk through, and we'll do that and just general fantasy stuff with Mike today. As we get closer, when you get close to training camp, you get close to fantasy drafts too. And Brian Koziol at 5:30 talking about the Open Championship. I didn't watch very much of it today, a lot of it yesterday. I don't think my pick 10 picks look very good, but I watched Scheffler some today, and I don't think I've seen him make a putt in 3 years. Every hole seems to be the same in every tournament, every major. I'm not watching every tournament, but in the majors, when it matters to me financially, whether he wins, good or bad, it's just every tournament. If I didn't pick him, I think I'm afraid of him. I know he's the number one player. I think I'm afraid of him, and he's always 9 feet for birdie and misses, and it's a relief. And now this week I've got him, and it's just so it's so frustrating. Imagine being him, but yeah, like, we'll talk to Brian about him and how things stand as already we come near to the end of round two. Yesterday, so it's 5 hours ahead. Makes that like 20 after 8 in England. Yesterday I heard they played until 9:55. So coverage goes off here in like 10 minutes. But they'll be, not the leaders, but they'll be playing there for at least another hour. Some Bills this week. Talking to a couple of great guests, Ryan Paganetti on Wednesday, Rich Rebar yesterday, Sal three times. Just getting into different pieces of their roster and their offense and their tendencies. I know Sal caught one from Ryan today online about how when Dalton Kincaid was the only tight end on the field for a play or for the season, when he was the only tight end on the field last year for the Bills passed almost 80% of the time. So not surprisingly, right? That's intuitive. Big tell that when Kincaid is on the field and Knox isn't, that the Bills are throwing the ball at least most of the time. I wonder what the running plays were. Were they draws? Were they just like sneaks or something? Or were they just legitimate? Were they garbage time? I wonder how those 20% break down, because we all know what Kincaid is to them. And maybe this year, like when Sal tweeted about it, Ryan Paganetti responded to him like, something to watch, because teams are loath to be like obvious like that. A couple of calls this week just about Joe Brady and feelings about the season. And most of it, frankly, sounds pretty negative. A caller maybe yesterday referred to them in a way to the Sabres of the last 15 years. Like, it's just all hope, that it's not real. And I don't know. I mean, I think the Bills deserve a little bit more credit than that. But one thing I'm thinking about is just sort of how to sum up how it sounds to me like the fans feel about this season. And I think wary is a good word for it. I think fans are unsure about what Brady is going to mean. And I think that probably, and this is something I want to get into here in the next few weeks, I think that probably includes some fans that were ready for McDermott to go. but then you promote from within, and does that really feel like the kind of change you were hoping for from them? So I think, I mean, maybe the number one thing, probably, at least if you have tickets, the number one thing on your mind is the new building and just how exciting and different and what that'll be like to go across the street this year for the first time and set foot in there and, you know, watch that Thursday night home opener in week two against Detroit. I think it'll just feel surreal. You'll look around, it'll look different. The people will be the same. The Bills will look the same, but just where am I? I feel like that will be something in the air that night, and maybe for a year and maybe for longer, just for how long the Bills have been at the old place. I mean, 50 plus years. But I think in terms of the team, in this area, the fan base, I think there's a little bit of uneasiness about it, because really you have change in the coaching staff and you don't really have, I don't know what it would be, but you don't really have big roster movement that would calm you down. Again, I don't know what that would be. DJ Moore is a pretty big move. Bradley Chubb is a pretty big name. But you know, a lot of the stalwarts, especially on defense, that you've been able to count on if they were healthy, you know, Matt Milano, you've been able to know what you've had in a lot of these players, and a lot of them are gone now. It's been a real couple of years of transition for them. So I think there is some anxiety in the fan base about them, but you probably, like I think I would have told the guy yesterday, you probably can relax a little bit. I mean, in terms of the betting odds, which are not people who are rooting for them and painting their faces and singing the shout song, they're still right up there. So whatever you think about it, you got to give that some respect, I think. We'll talk some NFL with Sammy P, awards, odds, and different things. Offensive Player of the Year is a fun one for him, and we've talked about that for a couple of years. MVP always, Coach of the Year always, some of that. We'll do some baseball with Sam, too. His White Sox are in Toronto this weekend. They're still only about even money to be in the playoffs, even though they're in first place in the American League, has a lot of teams with losing records. So we'll get his analysis of that. As I said, Mike Dempsey and Brian Koziol today as well. Maybe some World Cup and more with Sam, too, if he's up for it. He's not a big World Cup guy. Eddie Vedder. I got to ask him about Eddie Vedder. Maybe he'll just bring it up before I can even do that. Thanks for being with me on this hot Friday afternoon. Bulldog back on Monday with me. I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR.